chapter 53. Nothing I'm going to be preaching tonight is things that you'll go home and say, I've never heard that before. But it is something that I believe in praying and in the short time I had to pray and see, Lord, what would you have me to say? I put some things down here that have been beneficial to me and also have kind of helped me put things into focus, because ever so often, I believe as a Christian, especially a Christian that has been saved for any length of time, we get out of focus. When you're first saved, you begin to see things, you're gung-ho, right? And nothing is impossible. If you could, you'd chase hell with a water pistol, right? You just go in, be like, I'm here. Nothing is out of bounds. The pastor told you to do something, you said, yes, I'm ready to go. And then we get what I call sophisticated as a Christian. You get, well, I'm too good for that, or I don't have to do that, or that's too much for me. And I think we get out of focus. And I love Isaiah chapter 53 because it really puts things into focus. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's only 12 verses. So we'll go through the whole chapter, dissecting it in three verses at a time, which I believe there are four sections that kind of tell us as a Christian what we are to do and how we are to live and the whole reason we are coming here. So Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I'm going to stop there. The title of my message is very simple. The path to the intercessor. The path to the intercessor. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord God, I pray that you'd help as I prepared your message for tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we are not going to hear anything that is new, but it's something that we could apply to our lives and maybe put back into focus. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be of a sound mind, Lord, and let you preach this message through me. Pray when it's all said and done, we give you all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Children put your whole life into focus. I remember when I had Grace, and Grace was just born, and my mom said this phrase, I hope they grow up the exact same way that you grew up. And I'm thinking, I was a pretty good kid. Yeah. And then my mom chuckled, and I have no idea why she chuckled. And then all of a sudden, now that Grace is 6 years old, I know why my mom chuckled. She's crazy. She's all over the place. She's constantly asking why this, why that, why this, why that. What's going on here? What's happening there? Yada, 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 yada. And then I have to get down on her level and I have to say, this is why we do this. This is why we don't do this. Da, 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 da. And I began to learn as a parent that I had to sometimes slow down, get down to my daughter's level, and kind of focus myself to tell her, this is why we do not turn on the stove. This is why we don't open the refrigerator, finish half the milk, and just leave it out. This is why, this is why, this is why. And really, I think as Christians, the more years you have in this Christian life, we begin to think, well, I have to do this, I have to do that, I need to do this, I need to do that. When really, if we kind of slow down and focus, the reason why we live the Christian life is very simple. It's really simple. And I think that Isaiah 53 kind of puts this into focus for us. And it's just four thoughts I've written down for tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he was of common features and needs. Common features and needs. Verse number one, who hath believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse number two, he grew up as a dry, he grew up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Had anyone ever had to plant anything, had the pleasure of planting something? We have these pots. We had these pots in our house. And so one was Grace's, one was my wife's, one was mine. And all I had to do was water the thing every day. That's all I had to do. It had plenty of sunlight because you live in the Valley of the Sun. It had plenty of everything else it needed. It was planted properly. It just needed to have water. My daughter watered hers, turned out great. My wife watered hers, turned out great. Mine died like 3 days later. But I've noticed something about when it said this. It doesn't take a lot for things to grow. You plant them in good soil, you make sure the weeds are not around it, and you water them, and you should get something to grow. The Lord's saying, he grew up before him as a tender plant. He didn't require much. He didn't even want the praise for himself. Did you notice that everything that ever happened in Jesus Christ's life was geared towards the Father? It was always pointing towards the Father. I find at times that when work is needed to be done, that myself in my heart at times, or myself when there's a task to be done in the church, I would find myself saying, why would I do that? It doesn't seem very important. It doesn't seem like something that needs to be done. Maybe doesn't need my time. And I find myself sometimes getting selfish, saying, Lord, it's not the glory of it all. It's just that the job needs to be done. And Jesus Christ right here says, it's not all about the glory. It's not all about the best job or looking the best or being the best. It's about just doing the job. We need to understand that doing the work for Christ is not all about glory. The main word is not glory, it's worship. I'm doing this so that I can worship God. I'm here at church on a Wednesday night, tired. Some of you may be tired. You may be exhausted. You may have had a crazy week. You might have life just throwing you one curveball at another, but you're here. Why? Because you want to worship God. That's what it is. It's not about glory for ourselves. It's not so that when you come here, pastor's not looking at you saying, who was here, who was not. It's about, I want to be here so that I can worship the Lord. Verse number 3 through 6. We already read 3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not only did he come here not looking for the beauty or anything of that nature, he also understands sorrow and transgressions. He understands sorrow and transgressions. Have you ever had a feeling that nobody understands the pain you're going through? I think that's a common human trait. We have pain in our lives. We have problems that we face on a daily basis, and we have things that no one else knows about, and no one needs to know about them. But he bore our sorrows. He bore our pain. He bore our transgressions. When you feel like no one cares, understand that God, that Jesus Christ came to this earth and became a man of sorrows. I don't think that's by accident. I seriously believe he became a man of sorrows so that when we are down and we have sorrow in our own lives and we are faced with some hard times, maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's your boss at work. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's whatever the reason it is. It's a sorrowful time. Listen, Brother Antonio, your sorrows are different than my sorrows. Brother Mark, your sorrows are different than my sorrows. It's not saying he became a man of Levi leader's sorrows. That's not what he's saying. He became a man of sorrows. Which means no matter what pain you have, no matter what sorrow you're going through, no matter how hard it is, he wants you to take that to him. Why? Because he already became the sorrow. He became a man of sorrow. The suffering that we will never fully understand, no matter how hard we try, is the transgressions that were felt when the whips were placed on his back and the nails were placed in his hands and feet. You and I will never understand that. We will never know pain like that. We will never have to. But do you understand that every bit of that pain that went into Jesus Christ was inflicted by you and by me? We may never know the pain, but we were the cause of the pain. We may never feel the spikes going in his hand, but we're the ones that had the hammer. We may never know the crown of thorns being placed in our heads, but our sins are the ones that pressed it down deeper. So you may not know the pain, but you contributed to the pain. I contributed to that pain. The world's sins all contributed to that pain. And although we may never feel it, we were the cause of it. It's kind of easy. It's funny how easy we forget while we're going through our daily lives and what's in our mind and what comes out of our mouth and what's in our heart. The reality should hit you. That when we look at this verse, we see that it's not his transgressions, but ours. And to add to that, the Bible says, verse number 6, and on top of that, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not only did we cause the pain, we have led others away from Christ because of the sins that we have. There will be a good point to this, okay? I'm just trying to get you to think here a little bit. Christ, who came here not searching for beauty, went to the cross to face the transgressions and become a man of sorrow and have the transgressions of us placed upon him. And not only are we the ones to contribute to that, but we're the ones to lead others away from that. Verse number 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before the shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Not only did he come as a common man, as God, manifest in flesh, but common, not looking for glory upon himself. Not only did he become a man of sorrow and transgressions to understand us, but he, to have all our transgressions placed on him, he specifically says he went through all of this for us. Listen to these words: oppressed, afflicted, a lamb to the slaughter, taken from prison, cut from the land of the living, for again the transgression of the people. I will never fully grasp the love of God. I never will. I'll never grasp that love. The closest thing I could get to that would be if someone said, your life or your family's. The closest thing I could do. Your life or your family's. There would be no hesitation in my mind. No hesitation. My life over my family's. That's how I feel. But if someone comes to me and says, your life over a stranger's, I would have a little bit of a hesitation there. I'm just human. We're all human. We'd all have hesitation there. But for God, Jesus Christ, to have no hesitation to say, I will be the only way that they get to heaven and to go to a cross for us, I'll never understand that love. So I guess the question has to be, why? Why? If you have a question or you see things like this, you look at this, I can't help but think, why did he do this? The common Sunday school answer is so that we have a way to go to heaven. I get that. But it specifically in this verse, it says some things that baffle me. So let's look at verse number 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressor. I love this. I love this. The Lord looked down at Jesus Christ, and it pleased him that Jesus was on the cross. Why is that? Because at the last part of verse number 12, and made intercession for transgressors. Made intercession for transgressors. Why is this? Because with all that sin, with all that wickedness, with all of the bad that we do, I guess, lack of a better term, with all the transgressions that we have, Jesus, the Lord God our Father, looked down and said, there's no way I can allow them to heaven. Why is that? Because his love wants them in heaven, but his holiness can't have sin in his midst. And his righteousness has no choice but to judge him. So, with that being the case, the Lord needed an intercessor. And we see in the first part of chapter 53, we look at all this and see what Jesus Christ had to go through, and the Lord is pleased. And the Lord is pleased. Why? Because all of that sin, all of the transgression, everything that keeps us apart from the Lord Jesus Christ was placed on the cross. And that if we accept him, he became that intercession for us. So the title of the message is The Path to the Intercessor. That's great, Burr Leader. I knew all that. That's awesome. Great. I'm glad you mentioned it. This is the Wednesday night crowd, and I figured we would not have any visitors tonight. So I wanted to kind of lay this out to put into focus of what Christ has done for us. But the conclusion is kind of the message, and it's a brief part, okay? We know, looking at this chapter, what Christ has done for us. We know the pain he went through. We know the agony he faced. We even know now that we were the cause of that. It was our sin. Not the person sitting next to us. It's our sin. It's your sin. We know that he was oppressed. We know that he was taken from prison, from judgment. We know that he ultimately died, and we know he rose again after 3 days. We know all this. But the problem is, not everyone does. Working in insurance hasn't taught me a lot. I'll just be honest. It hasn't taught me a lot, but it has taught me one thing. It's very uncomfortable talking to people. It just is. Talking to people about anything. How you doing? Usually a start like this. Hey, we saw you wanted a quote on insurance. Love to talk to you about it. It's just awkward. It's never fun. And you know, talking about insurance is not something that I'm looking like, yay, I get to do. But you see, there's nothing life-altering. You know, Brother Antonio, I could call him tomorrow and say, hey, do you want a quote? He says, you know what, go away. And then I don't lose sleep over that. Nothing bad's going to happen by him taking a quote from me or not. And that's just from talking about insurance. If you knew that your friend, your family member, your neighbor, whoever you have interaction with, could possibly be dying and going to hell, where we had a great message from Brother Hickson about hell not too long ago. He went into great detail about that. How they could die and not know. Would you maybe want to step out of your comfort zone just a little and to talk to them about Christ and to kind of say, hey, listen, this is what Christ went through for me. This is what he did for our sins. This is what he went through for everyone. Do you trust in Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Now, again, just like anything else, they can accept it or reject it. That's not up for me to make them accept or reject it. It's just my job as a Christian to go out and tell. We're gonna have upwards to over 100 young people this year go through these doors. And Brother Greenwell and I were talking about the invitation. And he said, do you want me to wait till Wednesday to start giving an invitation? And I said, no. I want to start that very first night. Why is that? I said, well, there could be some children that I never see again. I want them to get that opportunity that very first night. He understood, we're going to start that very first night. Why is that? Because it's not my job for them to accept or reject. It's my job to tell. That's what my job is. So when we look at the Christian life, I'm all about programs. I love programs. I love putting skits together. I love VBS. I love missions conference. I love it all. And we should do all of this. But if we are not focused on, I know what Christ did for me. I know what it took to save my soul from hell. I know what price he paid. If we're not focused on that, and if we're not willing to let others know, then we're missing everything. We're missing it all. So my challenge to you tonight is the path to the intercessor is so plain in our minds. We know what he did. We know what it takes to get saved. We know what we need to do. We just need to be that voice so that others can find the path as well. Let's pray.